Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, titled, Children, Obey. This is the third study in our series on the family, as given in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. We're simply doing an expository study of God's Word while comparing Scripture with Scripture in what will be a four-part study, as we close with a look at Christian parenting in the next study in Ephesians 6. As you listen, if you have a comment, question, or prayer request, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 211, West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. The email address again is bbbfohio@yahoo.com, and the P.O. Box is 211 West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. And now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, titled, Children, Obey. This is part 1 of 2.
So there you go. We're going to get in your Bibles, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. All right, we're going to sing a song before we get into our study. Jenny and I sing this. Actually try to sing this around the house. A lot of times you forget the words, but it's a wonderful song. By the Mark. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. The title of the study this morning is Children, Obey. And the kid's like, I came here for candy. I didn't come here for this. By the way, it wasn't very nice. Whoever, which one of you said that I look like an Easter egg this morning? That was not nice. Do I look like Gloria? I'm trying not to turn it into a speckled egg by splashing my coffee. Get it on my face. All right. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a good group this morning. And Lord, I just pray that everyone came here this morning to hear the word of God, as well as to sing your praises and to enjoy our fellowship that is all made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the fact that we have your Holy Spirit within us. And we just ask, Lord, you bless our time together. And Lord, that the children, young and old, will listen and learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, for those who are visiting or new people watching online or wherever the case may be, this is what we do, Bible Believers Fellowship. We call ourselves Bible Believers Fellowship because we believe the what? And we are very particular here at this Bible Believers Fellowship to tell you that we believe the King James Bible. We don't like the new versions, and we have our reasons for that. Other than the fact that they come from a corrupt Greek text called Vaticanus. If you want to get your Bible from the Pope, you go right ahead. We'll stick with the King James Bible. Amen? Amen. But we have had several people over the last few weeks who have been listening online, and then they've gone out and watched our new versions, our Vatican versions, DVD, and they have seen the light. And that includes one preacher that has come around that. And I'm not naming their names because I'm not out to embarrass anybody. I don't know that they would be embarrassed, but they'll let people know in due time. Amen. But we are going to read the King James Bible, beginning in verse 1, if you would read with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Live long and prosper. All God's people say amen?
Amen.
All right. That's what you just experienced is something that's impossible in most churches today. You couldn't do that because they have 20 different versions of the Bible, and they're all different. But it's nice to be able to read the Bible in unison. And we're picking up where we left off. This is the biblical model for the home that we're studying. And we ended Ephesians chapter 5, and we showed this little graphic, and it really applies to any study of the Christian home. This is God's model here, and that is Christ is the head of the body, and then the family unit is instituted by God as separate from the local church, whereas Christ is head over the husband, who is head of the home. And his main duties are to protect the home and provide for the family. And then the wife, under the leadership of the husband, manages the home along with the children who are supposed to help in that. We're not going to get into all the details of how to manage a home. That's something that is really left up to the husband and wife. There's things that you may do in your home that we don't do in my home, and vice versa. But the point is none of us have any right to go against the Word of God. Amen? And that's why we have Christ as the head. Now, the first two words where we got the title for this study, children do what?
Obey.
I want to hear the kids. Children,
obey.
Three of you? How many? I know there's more than three kids in this place. One more time. Children,
obey.
All sound like all boys.
Hey, you're a kid too.
That's a good point.
So everybody
James,
can take it.
James Gray is a guy that I recommend. He taught at Moody Bible Institute. And he said this, quote, "In the instance of children and parents, observe that the former are addressed as though they were present in the church assemblies where this letter was read and expected to give their personal attention to it, to understand it and obey its teachings the same as their adult associates." Amen. That's why we don't take all the kids off into a thing called junior church. Why? Well, first of all, it's a disaster. Have you looked at what that's produced?
Amen.
What we need are for kids to sit with their parents and understand what you can. And then what you don't understand, you ask your mom and dad when you go home. And that way, when you go home and eat lunch today, you have discussion about the Bible and eat your, what was everybody eating today? Turkey, not turkey, but steak. I like what you're eating there. We're having ham. But you have whatever it is you're eating for lunch today instead of roast preacher, amen? Because that's what a lot of people have when they go home, roast preacher. But what we emphasize is that the kids learn what church is about, and they also learn the Word of God. But here's the problem we're facing in America today, is most kids can sit with their parents in church, and they still aren't going to learn anything. Because very few preachers are preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God today. A lot of them aren't teaching, even trying to, and the ones who do are using corrupt versions, and they're trying to teach you that you can't trust the Bible you have in your hands. So it's a real mess today. It's why the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on today. Just visit some other churches sometime. And you say, well, you don't want us to skip church here. I said, go right ahead. You know what? If you go to a church anywhere around here that it's teaching the King James Bible and you feel like they are a sound doctrinal church and that they're where they ought to be doing what they ought to do, I don't get my feelings hurt if you go there. My problem is when people leave to go to a place that's nothing but a big zoo or some playpen.
Right.
That's when there's a problem. And a lot of people like that. You know, they'd rather not learn. They don't want to grow up. Well, the children can ask the adults, but that's where you adults have to be careful about, reading your Bible, being faithful to come and attend and listen and learn. So that when your children ask you questions, you can give them answers. But don't get embarrassed if you can't answer everything your child asks you. The only time you should be embarrassed is when you don't try to give them an answer. There's nothing wrong, parents, looking at these kids and saying, you know what, that's a great question. I don't know the answer right off the top of my head. I'm going to go research this. And then if you can't get it, you know what, we'll go ask Pastor Greg about this. And you know what, there's been a couple times, I mean, it's not often, but there's been a couple times where people come up and ask me something. I said, you know what? I'm not even sure the answer to that. I'm going to have to go look. Let's all look together. Why? Because ain't nobody on the planet infallible, and that includes the Pope.
Amen.
Nobody knows everything.
Amen.
We're all here to learn. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I know everything I'm about to teach this morning. Obviously. I learned it, I put it in, but you know, I don't know everything about this text. There's more for me to learn. I learned more learning for this study right here. If the Lord tarries and I get to teach this again, I'm going to study it and I'm going to be like, well, I'll be. Did not know that was even in there. And you know what problem I'm having now? I'm getting so old that I'm starting to forget what I did learn. So I'm remembering things that I used to know. You're all going to have the same problem. Some of you are already there. The key word for your children this morning in this text is that word obey. And that's kind of a dirty word today.
Yeah.
Kids are supposed to, you know, basically just be free and not have any real, you know, no one's ever supposed to say no. No one's ever supposed to look at a kid and say you're wrong. Now, I don't believe in looking at a kid and saying you're stupid. That's wrong. But I do believe in looking at a kid and saying, that is stupid.
Amen.
Because kids will do stupid things, and kids need to understand sometimes things we do are stupid.
Amen.
I snuck off one time my bicycle with a friend, and we didn't pay attention to the fact the sun gone down, it's getting dark. I was supposed to have been home an hour and a half ago. My poor mom's thinking, my mom's one of those people that just kind of, you know, and I know there's a bunch of, I'm the same way. I got it from my mom. I immediately start thinking the worst. Milk cartons, you know. And so my mom is just on the edge of, you know, freaking out. And then we come riding up like, hey, how you doing? Where have you been? My dad says, do you realize how stupid this is? You scaring your mother to death. At the time, I was, you know, stupid. I didn't even, but you know what? Looking back, that's exactly what he should have told me. And after he got done wearing out his leather belt on my rear end, you know what? I never did that again. Somehow I got smarter. It's an amazing tool. The word obey, if you look it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and the reason we go way back to 1828 because the modern Webster dictionary has ripped out all the references to Scripture and they're changing the meanings of definitions. So we go back to Webster's 1828, back when English was not politically correct. To obey is to comply with the commands, orders, or instructions of a superior. Listen, kids, even if your parents aren't raising you like this, I want you to understand something. God's idea is for you to look at your father and your mother as authorities.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, you should have a love relationship with them, but see, that pictures your relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
God, your Father, is the authority, and He loves you. And you can have a love relationship with your father, but you know what? Your Father in heaven loves you enough that if you go against His word and sin, He chastises you. See? And that's how your relationship with your earthly father and mother are to be. When you do something wrong, they punish you and correct you, chastise you, because they love you. And it goes on to say, with the requirements of law, moral, political, or municipal, to do that which is commanded or required, or to forbear doing that which is prohibited. It's not only obeying your parents and do what they tell you to do, there's also times when you know better than to do what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing it. And your mom and dad have told you why, or at least told you not to do it. Hey, now that brings up something else. I don't think I have a note on this. I want to throw this out for free of charge. You know what? If your mom and dad tell you don't do that, they don't owe you an explanation. Now, parents, most of the time you should try to explain to your children why. You should not make them think you owe them that. There are times where you just need to do what you're told. You can imagine a little three-year-old getting ready to walk over and sticking a fork. Good, thank you. I couldn't think of a good metal thing that a kid would be holding up. Stick a fork in the light socket. A kid shouldn't have a knife anyway. But let's say you're Stephen and you've got a knife. And you're three. And you're getting ready to stick that in the electric socket and your parent says, don't do that. Why not? Well, you know, most parents don't have a real good explanation other than, because you'll die. That's not good enough. You know what you're going to do? You're going to die. That's an example of there's times where just listen to your parents. They're telling you what to do. And there have been times where kids have been hurt and killed because every time their parents said something to them, they either had to give them an explanation or count. Now I'm here to tell you, folks, you can do what you want. I'm just here to tell you, you should not be counting. When you say don't, you done counted. One, two, don't make me go to three. If I count to three, I'm going to stick you in the corner. If I have... Meanwhile, there's going to come a time where while your kid's doing and they're not listening to you and you keep counting, it's going to get them killed.
Yeah. Amen.
And kids, I'm here to tell you, even if your parents do count, shame on you for making them count.
Amen.
When your parent says something, just do it. You'll grow up and pay your own bills soon enough. And then you can make all those decisions you want. But right now, just listen. Sit back and learn. That's what it means to obey. Where does it say to comply with the commands or instructions after they've counted to three? It's not in there. Boy, that's an Americanism if it ever existed. I'm going to count to three. And by the way, those of you who do that, you make it really tough on the rest of us when we're trying to shop or eat. Or you're trying to eat and you're over there going, I'm going to count to three. It's not like cats fighting. And I'm trying to eat. Now, who does the Bible say children should obey? Your friends?
No.
What?
No.
You mean if your friend tells you something that doesn't trump what your parents said?
No.
Who are you supposed to obey then? Now, that is whether they are your biological parents or if they have adopted you. Your parent, you know who your parent is. And that's who you're supposed to what?
Obey.
Come on, kids. Look up here. Who are you supposed to obey?
Parents.
I want to give you a couple of biblical examples. What would it be like if Isaac had not obeyed Abraham? His disobedience would have destroyed this type and example we have for Jesus, as Jesus did his father. You know, Jesus came as a man. He had to obey his father.
Amen.
Now, what would it have been like if Isaac had said, Dad, I see the wood, and we know how to make fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, don't worry about that. God will provide. I'm not so sure I want that answer. Could you give me a little more detail? Where is this sacrifice going to come from? Dad, why are you tying me up? Dad, no. And he breaks and runs. Totally destroyed the story. And also robbed himself of a blessing.
Amen.
You would have never heard of Isaac.
Right.
Everybody in this room knows who Isaac is today because he obeyed his father. If he had disobeyed his father, God would have wrote him off and started over to somebody else.
Amen.
That's right. And Jesus, his disobedience would have destroyed our eternal salvation. Now, I know you can get real theological and say, well, he was God in flesh and there's no way he would. Just stick with the fact that as a son, Jesus was our example of obedience unto the Father.
Amen.
For some reason, many teenagers think that this is an option and they pay the consequences. If I can get serious for just a minute. This is a little girl who did not listen to her mother. The age of 17. She was last seen in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina in 2009. You can do the math. 8 years now, her family has been grieving and they still don't know where she is. She told her mom she was going down the road. She went 3 or 4 states away and they haven't seen her since. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, these are real statistics. Kids, I want you all to pay attention to this. 800,000 children are reported missing every year in the United States.
Wow.
That's roughly 2,000 today. Think about it. Today, on average, 2,000 kids will go missing. In 2002, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention estimated that 1.6 million youth run away in a year in the United States.
Wow.
You see, of those missing children, many of those weren't disobeying their parents. Some of them, their parents are responsible for what happened to them. Others of them, you know what? There are wicked people out there. Even when you're obeying your parents, kids, I want you to hear this. Even when you're obeying your parents, you need to understand, if people tell you that everybody's good, people tell you all, most people generally speaking are good, that's a lie.
Amen.
Generally speaking, all men are wicked.
Amen.
And only when men give in to the Spirit of God, and that includes the unsaved world, by the way. Some of us have been taught that God doesn't affect anybody unless they're saved. That's not true. And I believe God hinders a lot of the wickedness in this world with the unsaved people by different means. But what you need to understand is you don't trust anybody more than you have to. And you use your brain and you go by your gut. If someone makes you feel uncomfortable, the way they're looking at you, talking to you, if they touch you, you get out. And you go find mom or dad or some other adult that you know that you can trust, and you let them know what happened. And then a lot of these, and 1.6 million are runaways. That means they left home of their own. 1.6 million a year. And each year, 100,000 children. 100,000 children. And this is actually boys as much as girls, are forced into prostitution, what they call the sex trade. See, when kids, you need to understand this, you ever run away from home, you have just opened yourself up to anything and anyone. When you are in your home, obeying your parents, you are under their protection, but when you go out into the street, and you go off where you're not supposed to be, you have just opened yourself up to animals. Human beings with an animal spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
And they can abuse you and hurt you in ways you never imagined.
Yeah. Amen.
And in a study by Ark of Hope for Children, titled Child Trafficking Statistics, U.S. and International, quote, most of the street children encountered in this study were Caucasian youths who had run away from middle-class families, end quote.
Wow.
That means it's not just poor kids, and it's not just people from certain areas, neighborhoods. These are kids from out in the suburbs. And I'm here to tell you, they do this because they're spoiled.
Right.
They are not being raised to know God. They're not raised to know the Bible. And then even among them are some kids who are raised right and they still run.
Yeah.
And so it's important to understand there is no just black and white here. You can raise a kid the way they, you know, the Bible says you bring up a child in the way he should go, he shall not depart from it. Doesn't say he won't depart from you or God. That child will not depart from the way that they were raised. In other words, they will always have it with them. That upbringing will always be in their head and their heart. They'll know what's right and wrong. But they still have a free will and they can choose to rebel. And you kids, you get spoiled and you think, oh, everything's taken care of. I've got it so good. And then you just start choosing to do what's wrong, to look at things and to listen to things and hang out with people that you shouldn't be. It'll eventually grab hold of you and drag you down. Some of us, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not up here. Listen, I wasn't raised in a monastery. You know, some of the people, he's Pastor Greg. You know, he's Pastor. I was an idiot when I was in high school and a couple years after getting out of high school. And there are times now looking back, I came this close from being destroyed. God had mercy. But I also know some kids who were destroyed. And none of them were destroyed by obeying their parents. None of them. And many rebellious teens have paid horrible consequences like that girl we just showed you. It won't always blow up your face. But when you get old like me, you're going to look back and say, more. I dodged a bullet there, didn't I?
Amen.
There are some kids who are just known for being foolish and rebellious from their youth.